just hate this feeling. I'm feeling sick and old. So what am I doing in Dublin? This place is so damn cold. And it seems to be
the time has come, the walrus said, to talk of many things. Hello. Welcome to Exposing the Masters Within, the one and only hour on radio or the internet dedicated solely to helping you expose yourself. My name is John Schulte. I'm here to serve you, to help you to know more of the truth about you. It's often said, looks can be deceiving. And we all know that the surface of things is, by definition, shallow. So thanks for joining me today as we journey through the looking glass to explore what's on the other side, to explore what's beneath the surface. We're here together to discover, uncover, and recover our masters within. You knew your mastery much more fully when you signed up for your on-earth sojourn. But you mostly forgot it soon after leaving the cozy confines of your mother's womb. You've rediscovered some inkling of it, or you wouldn't be listening to me now. So, it's time to remember the masters we are. It's time to reclaim the power we have. It's time for Exposing the Masters Within. Let's get started.
Today is December 4th, 2011, if you're listening live, and obviously it's whatever day you're listening if you're listening to the recording. Welcome. I cannot believe we're already in December. I think this year just started, and yet here we are. Just one more sign that things really have been speeding up in terms of time. So let's take a few breaths and make some connections and see how much we can step into our mastery as we begin here today. So as we begin, as we start, let's focus on the power within, on that mastery, and open up to connecting with our own inner divinity, the truth, the essence of who we are. And so as we do that, allow your focus to go inward. Heart's a wonderful place to focus, but you focus wherever it feels appropriate for you. And allow yourself to breathe deeply there and open into the conscious intention to connect with your divinity, to allow your divinity to come out and play. Our divinity is kind of like the sun behind the clouds. It's always there, whether we can feel it or not. And so this is about consciously moving aside some of those clouds, some of that confusion, some of those past experiences we've had where we didn't feel quite in our power, and letting more of that sunshine, that light of our divinity come forth and warm us up and bring us that power the way the sun brings the power to the earth, the power for life, the power for living, the power for everything. Feels good. And let's expand that connection out now to opening up to connect with our local core of support, which is the Mother Earth. And just allow yourself to open to perceiving the influence and the support and the love that she is offering to us in every moment. Same thing as with our own divinity. A lot of times that sense of being supported gets kind of obscured by the clouds, by the negative that happens in our lives, by the things that we don't necessarily desire to experience that come our way anyway. And so just let yourself open up and sink down and breathe in. Breathe in her love and support for you. Breathe in that energy that she's giving you, that energy that is creative, because we are here individually, but we are also here collectively. We are all a part of our Mother Earth. We're part of that whole energy field that she is. And we are here to create within that energy field. And she's here to feed us whatever we need to do that creating. And so drink that in, as if you were a tree with roots down in the earth, drinking up the water and the nutrients, and allow that to fill you. And let's expand out once more to another layer of support that we have with us all the time, but again, is often behind the clouds to some degree or another. And that's all of the guides and angels, the teachers that are here with us individually and again collectively, who are there feeding us love, support, guidance, wisdom, inspiration. And just allow yourself to open, part those clouds, and allow their presence to be with you, to be felt within you. To fill you. And we expand out once more in a different direction, this time into the community that we have gathered here together to co-create the exposing the masters within today, to co-create with us, to create this energy field. All of those who are listening live, all of those who are listening through the recording are all part of the energy field here today as we're creating this live, even if they're not listening to it until it's recorded. Because that focus and intention travels through time. Energy travels through time. And so we connect with that larger group and the group intention to open up into that mastery, to come to the place where we are more empowered, more comfortable in exposing ourselves and exposing the truth of ourselves out into the world. And breathe that in deeply. And let's do one more expansion, one more connection. And this time it's to that entire community of beings on the planet now, that are the light workers, that are those who are consciously choosing to move more into their power, consciously choosing to embrace their divinity, to experience it more fully, and to share it out into the world more consciously. That mass consciousness of evolution, of ascension, of the intention to create more consciously, of the intention to create from and into empowerment. And breathe that in. Connect with that. Feel the support of that wave helping to lift us out of those experiences that are less than desirable, and yet exactly what this moment holds for us at times. Wonderful. And so as we step forward into today's discussion, allow yourself to set an intention right now to keep all of these connections as open as possible throughout, not just throughout this time that we're here together for the show, but throughout this day and throughout your life. Because that ultimately is what we're seeking to do, is to step into that place of empowerment and to step out of that place where we are victims on any level, in any way, of our experiences. And what I'd like to talk about today is that, how we do that, how we continue that. I spoke about this last week At least I think it was last week. Who knows? My sense of time may be off here. But we are here to step into mastery, and mastery means to step through the veil of the illusion of victimhood. Now, that's not to say that there are not things that happen to us that we would not consciously choose. Certainly there are. There have been plenty in my life, and I know there have been plenty in yours. But empowerment is not just about what happens to us. It's about how we deal with what happens to us, what we are experiencing, how we choose what level of participation we're going to be in, what level of conscious creation we are going to be in. And that, that is the rub, so to speak. That's the trick. That's what we're all looking to figure out. And it's been interesting. The past few days, the past week or so maybe, and even in looking through some of the questions that I've received from various people out there who listen to the show, I've been exploring the idea of conspiracies. And it doesn't matter what kind of a conspiracy it is, whether it is HARP. For those of you who know what HARP is, that's supposedly something in Alaska that is being used to control the weather and create earth changes and earthquakes and other things like that. Whether that is something like the idea of the contrails that the jets, whether they're military or whether they are commercial, are being used to drop chemicals that are affecting people's behavior and their experience, whether it is something like, oh, the idea of JFK and that whole thing, whether it's attached to 9/11 and the towers going down, or whether it's something else, fluoride in the water, depending upon who the person is. Conspiracies come in all kinds of shapes and sizes, all kinds of, shall we say, philosophies. But one of the things that's interesting to me about that, the experience of conspiracy, is that sometimes they don't even directly affect the person. Well, like JFK and that assassination. Very few people individually were touched by that. And yet that lives on quite a number of years after his death. And 9/11. Again, not that people are not touched by those larger things. When JFK died, society changed. When Martin Luther King died, society changed. When 9/11 died, society changed. But personally, how many of us actually knew someone who was in the towers that day or in one of the planes? And yet these ideas about conspiracies, about this being controlled by this person or some government agency or some secret group, the Illuminati, they don't die. These sorts of stories go on and on and on. And they find new things to attach themselves to. Now, I don't want to talk about conspiracies today in terms of, well, whether I believe that there are any groups behind any of these things. Because for me, and this is the most important thing about the idea of conspiracies, is that that's irrelevant. It may or may not be true. I don't know. I know very well-intentioned, very well-meaning people who absolutely believe in some of these. And again, they may be true. I'm not here. I personally don't know. And I'm not here to try and foist an opinion on you. But whether there is some group behind these things or not, I believe, on this path, seeking personal empowerment, seeking self-mastery, it's irrelevant. Because focusing on those energies of those conspiracies is buying into victimhood in a huge way. If those things exist out there, if those conspiracies exist, if those government agencies or non-government agencies or secret societies exist and are affecting the reality that we are experiencing, quite frankly, their very level of secretiveness, if that's the right word, secrecy, I guess, would be a better word, their very level of secrecy means that most of us are not going to have any direct way to affect them, to change them, to break up that secret organization that is affecting our reality out there. But the out there is always a reflection of what's in here, what's inside of me. And so if I look out there, and I find myself being drawn into a story of conspiracy, a story of victimization, a story of duplicity, a story of behind-the-scenes manipulation of the world in a way that is negative. If that's where my focus goes, it doesn't matter if it's true or not. I want to make that point. It doesn't matter if there is anything behind that truth or not, as far as self-empowerment goes. What I'm talking about here is where we focus our mind, where we focus our awareness, what we choose to concentrate on and look at. And this goes far beyond conspiracies, but I just wanted to take it to that level of the they. They are doing this to us. They are doing this to me. Anytime there's a they, or even a he or a she out there, that we are putting the blame on for some negative experience in our life, then we are in victimhood. And that is not empowerment. And that is where we need to make the change within us. The changes in society are going to happen as more of us collectively come into our individual power and work within that mass consciousness that are seeking to create a world right now of everyone being in their power. But the only way we're going to get there is each of us taking the next step into our empowerment. And that means, along the way, shedding all of the residue, all of the patterns, all of the habits of victimhood. And this buying into conspiracies, again, whether they exist or not, is a perfect example of that. It is a perfect example of where I'll say we, I'm not immune to this, of where we focus our energies on something that we dislike, on something that, quite frankly, amplifies our feeling of disempowerment and amplifies feelings of helplessness. Because by the very nature of these things and the way they're described, again, regardless of whether they're true or not, the very nature of them behind the scenes in the so-called halls of power or in a secret society somewhere say that there's nothing we can do about it because we don't have access to that. We don't have access to the halls of power. We're not in those secret societies. So what can we do? Well, it doesn't matter how much energy we put into this, how much we think about it, how much we might focus on it, if it's there in us at all, if it's there in us at all. There is a vestige of victimhood that we're holding on to. And so, how do we deal with this? Well, the first thing is to notice it. Again, the rules of personal responsibility, this goes back to something I've spoken of before about the drama triangle and being in that role of victim means that there has to be some other who is acting as persecutor, who is acting as the one or the ones who are creating a negative experience in our life. And they may be taking actions that we are experiencing as having a negative effect upon us. But as long as we stay in the victimhood, then it means that we can't make choices to make things better. And that's what empowerment is about. It's about being in the place where free will is not just an idea, but where it is a way of life. Where making those choices for how we live our life, for what we do right now, in response to whatever our circumstances are, that's what matters. And by all means, it doesn't mean we're supposed to be unfeeling. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with the anger that comes up, or the frustration, or the sense, that feeling of helplessness, or even hopelessness, if that's where we're at in a given moment. But what it means is that we don't stay in that feeling. That we don't choose to get stuck there. Now, who would choose to get stuck there? Well, it's one of those things, it's kind of like a lie of omission. You know, you didn't actually tell a lie, but by not expressing what was there, what you knew to be true, you left something out that was important for the other person. And this is kind of like that. We don't consciously necessarily choose to wallow in the pain, although sometimes, quite frankly, that can be entertaining for a little while. Sometimes it just feels good to feel that bad. Sometimes we really want to feel our victimhood, especially when something really negative has happened. But for the most part, I don't believe we consciously choose to stay there, even when it feels good. We're not consciously choosing that. Sometimes we do want to whine, at least some of us. I'm not putting everyone in that boat, but most of the people I know do at times like to whine. And so what does that mean, that we choose to be stuck there? Well, as far as I'm concerned, and this is the lie of omission, it's not so much that we choose to be stuck there, it's that we don't choose to move out of it. And so this brings me back essentially to the emotional body. And again, something that I've spoken of on other shows, it's not that the emotions are ever the problem. The emotion is just coming as a messenger. If it's a negative emotion, it only has one message, one core message: change something. Do something differently. And if it's a positive one, it's basically saying, for right now, this is a good choice. Keep this up. That's it. But we've gotten so caught up in our culture at the emotion itself being the problem. It's not. It's not. The suppression of the emotion is the problem, because then we have all this old energy, all this old anger, all this old fear, all this old sadness, all this old frustration building up inside of us. It's like a pressure cooker, and the heat keeps getting turned up. And every circumstance that creates that experience again, that triggers that emotion again, brings it closer to the boiling point where we explode, and it becomes a panic attack if it's fear. It becomes a temper if it's anger. It becomes, well, at times that's how depression works, except it's not as explosive as those other two, and so it becomes more like this continuous leaking. But that's the built-up energy trying to escape, and because we have that cultural societal program, that cultural societal judgment about negative emotion, we just keep trying to suppress it. And so It's that unconscious habit of suppressing those emotions that are us making the choice to be stuck in that energy. Because until we've released it from our field, it's still going to be there. It's still going to be affecting us. And it is still going to be drawing to us more experiences to trigger it. Because they are not, those experiences are not just being drawn to us about a particular individual circumstance. They're being drawn to us about that particular color of emotion. Angering experiences are drawn toward us to trigger our anger so that we will move it. Not just the anger from that moment, but the anger that we've been holding on to. And so the choice to make to move out of that victimhood is the choice to make to move the feelings of victimhood out. And those feelings can be, at times, anger. They can be fear. They can be frustration. They can be anxiety. They can be sadness. Any of the negative emotions can be attached there. But with them is that energy of helplessness, that energy of feeling unable to make a change for the better, which in and of itself, by its very nature, makes it hard to make the choice to move the emotion that's attached to it, the anger, the sadness, the anxiety, the frustration, etc. That feeling of helplessness, that feeling of hopelessness that can come in, those feelings make this step difficult. This path of self-mastery is not for the faint of heart. Because in walking this path, we need to deal with these things. We need to make conscious choices to move them. And it's not an immediate change. It doesn't happen out of this show. You come out of this show and afterwards you make a vow. I'm gonna choose to experience these emotions. And then they come up again. And the pattern says stuff them, suppress them, stop them. And so we need to make those choices again and again and again. And that is the path of empowerment, the path of mastery, the path of self-exposure, is the path of self-discovery. Discovering all that we have stuffed down inside of us. Call it the unconscious, call it the subconscious, call it the emotional body, call it whatever you like. But that path of self-discovery and self-acceptance and self-love goes right through the muck. It goes through the swamp. It goes into the dirty, dark places inside of us. It goes into the places where our shame lives, where our deepest fears live, where our guilt lives. And it requires us, walking the path requires us, to go in there and open that space in the clouds and let the sun shine in. Open that space in our hearts and let our divinity in. To make that choice repeatedly. And so, it is a huge thing to have the idea that we are divine beings. To have that connection to a reality that is different than what we seem to be experiencing. But that's the point. What we are seeking to experience is the new reality. To bring that reality of our divinity, into more and more individual moments in our life. And that, again, is about letting go of victimhood. And that's about letting go of it, not just the kind that I've spoken of before, where it's the personal victimhood, where it's another individual, etc., but the victimhood to the larger picture as well. The victimhood to society, the victimhood to government, the victimhood to religion, the victimhood to a bad educational system, the victimhood to anything, the victimhood to these conspiracies that I started with. Anything that we feel victimized by. If we are to step into our power, we eventually must recognize that they do not have the ability to control us. They do not have the ability to control our inner knowing, our inner responses. They might trigger things, but in that triggering, we have the choice of what to do with it. And even if we get triggered and we're not consciously present enough to make a different choice while the energy of anger is exploding, while the energy of fear is running us, while any of these other energies might be up, we always have the choice once the storm has passed, once the emotion that has been triggered is suppressed or has moved through to a large enough degree that we feel back in the place where we can make choices. We always then have the choice to go in and say, okay, that anger, that fear, that whatever I was just feeling, or I was feeling yesterday, or I was feeling last week, or I was feeling when this happened to me when I was 12. I'm going to choose to be present with that. I'm going to choose to go connect with that with a very clear intention that I'm connecting with it, not from my place of disempowerment, not from my place of victimhood, but from my place of empowerment. I'm choosing to connect with that pain. I'm choosing to connect with that negativity. I'm choosing to connect with that victimhood and meet it with my power. And in so doing, I'm choosing to release it. What this reminds me of is back in the days before phones and texts, before the telegraph, before long-distance communication of any time, when if you wanted to send a message to someone else, you literally had to send a messenger. And so let's just imagine for a minute that you are the king and queen of your life. And all of these messages are coming to you. And the messages are the experiences you're having. And the messages are actually coming up out of you as your emotion. You have an experience, you have an emotion. You have an experience, you have an emotion. But they're like messengers coming from another kingdom because they come up out of the dark places inside of you. You don't know where they come from. They're just there. And just imagine some kingdom, pick your favorite king or queen of the past, and imagine that that king or queen, every time a messenger arrived with a message, they would lock them in the dungeon. They wouldn't listen to the message. This isn't even the idea of kill the messenger, which did happen in certain kingdoms if the message was not a happy one. They would vent their wrath on the messenger. This isn't even that. This message could be a bad message. I don't want to hear it. So I'll put it away in the dungeon. And just imagine that you as the king or queen in your kingdom have been doing that your whole life. And now all of these old emotions, all of these old messengers are just down in your dungeons. And quite frankly, as with the criminal justice system in America right now, the cells are bursting at the seams. There are far too many incarcerated down there. Not meant to hold that. Wasn't that interesting? Just notice that. Cells, prison cells, and the cells of our body, where we store our emotions. So do you want the cells of your body to be prison cells? I don't. And so when we go in there and we say, these are the old messengers, let's see if we can let them out. The messengers are just that. They're seeking to get that message across. Those emotions are there to help you know when to make a different choice. know when to change something. They're there to help your awareness, to help your empowerment, to help you stepping into your free will so that you're not just doing the same thing you did yesterday because, you know, it worked yesterday. Didn't get you killed. You're still alive. Empowerment is much more than just living. It's living consciously. It's living at, and I don't know where this phrase came from, but it is something I've heard, at the choice point. It's living in the moment. And that's another way to look at what living in the moment means. Living in the moment means that I have choice in this moment as to what I'm going to do. In response to what I'm experiencing. And in response to not only what I'm experiencing external to me, but internal to me. I am at choice. But that requires a willingness to let go of victimhood. Because if someone or some others, plural, are able to create my life for me in a form, in a structure, in a way that I don't like, then I'm not able to be at choice in that particular moment, in that particular circumstance. And so that might be a question that would be good for us. That would be good for us to take into our lives in a regular way. Do I feel I have choice here in this moment? Do I? No. We've looked outside now. Let's look inside. Let's look inside because there are also our persecutors inside of ourselves. Now, some people would call these our weaknesses or our addictions. They are the things, the habits, the energy flows that prevent us from being a choice in a given moment. How do we deal with those? Well, again, the same way. The same way. When we have an addiction or a habit or a weakness that we, and I'll use this term, even though it doesn't exactly have the right connotation, if we have one of those weakness or addiction or habits that we indulge in, and why indulge doesn't quite work is for me that even using that word is part of the problem. Because it suggests that there's something wrong inherently in the experience. Whereas from the standpoint of stepping into mastery or self-empowerment, the only thing that's wrong in that circumstance, and I use wrong in quotes here, the only thing that's wrong in that circumstance is that in that part of our lives, we're not yet at choice. We're not yet consciously choosing what it is that we would do. We are in the throes of a pattern, of a habit, of an addiction. And so, how do we go about changing those inner demons, if you will? Well, same as we go about changing the outer ones. The first thing to do is to recognize that these are points of victimhood within us. And so the fact that we can't throw the judgment outside of ourselves and blame someone or something else, the fact that it's on us, makes these perhaps even harder to break. This level of victimhood even more difficult to deal with. But the place to start is again with that acknowledgement of feeling victimhood. of feeling distress, of feeling helpless, hopeless, etc., of feeling unable to be a choice. And of stepping in, of breathing in, of doing something perhaps like what we do at the beginning of each show, of stepping into our divinity, consciously opening that, consciously opening to the connection with the Mother Earth, consciously opening to the divine connection with our guides and angels, consciously opening to the community of light workers, and getting that strongest possible feeling of being supported in empowerment, being supported in being able to make our choices. Opening up into that. And going to connect with that energy of victimhood about our addiction, about our weakness, about our bad habits. And saying, you know what, I choose to breathe into how I feel about this. I choose to connect with my shame, my self-blame about this so I can move it. I choose to connect with my sense of anger and outrage at myself, my sense of exasperation. Why can't I change this? My sense of fear that I'll never be able to change it. My sense of anger at how could I be so weak? Whatever emotion might be there. With that energy of, I'm choosing to move this. I'm choosing to clear this energy. Because even though the message of those negative emotions is change something, we can't step into empowered choice to make empowered change while the emotion is running the show. Sometimes it feels good. Feels like we're finally doing something, especially when it's anger, because anger is energy that is geared toward making change now. But it's not empowered choice. It can be wonderful boundary setting, but boundaries set in anger need to be maintained from empowerment if they're going to be true boundaries. Boundaries set in anger just lead to boundary wars with other people. So they need to be rechosen once we get past the anger, if we're going to maintain them from a place of empowerment. And so I would be very surprised if this many shows into doing this, and up past 30 shows now, I can hardly believe that, but it would be very hard for me to believe if more than 30 shows into doing this, I haven't mentioned this tool before. But one of the best tools that I know of for working with this part of the process of empowerment is a tool that I like to call burn journaling. And you just sit down with pen and paper and you write an intention across the top of the page. Something like this, doesn't have to be these exact words, but I'm choosing to experience and express this in order to release it fully. And then you simply start writing that emotion out onto the page. And when you're done, you do a little ceremony of thanksgiving and do a little blessing of these emotional energies that have served you in this way. And you burn the paper. Obviously, in a circumstance that is safe. In a container that will accept that. And breathe while you're doing the writing. And it doesn't have to be legible. No one else is going to read it. It doesn't have to be capitalized, punctuated correctly. It doesn't even have to be words. It can just be scribbles onto the page, quite frankly. But it needs to express the energy, that emotion that you're feeling inside of you. And it can help to free this. So that we can come to that place on the other side of the emotion where we can be at choice, where we can connect with our inner knowing. I don't know where the phrase originated, but this phrase, the still small voice, seems very apt when it comes to our divine inspiration, our divine connection. It's not just still and small. It's Well, and this sounds negative for some reason, but it's not. It's emotionless. It's not coming from the emotional body. It's coming from our core. And it may agree with the emotional body about what direction or what action to take, but it's not coming from the emotional body. And perhaps that's what still means in still small voice, that it doesn't have that emotional chaos going on. Now, that doesn't mean it's mental, and that's perhaps the place that on emotional tends to go. This is also not just what the mind would decide it is. Because the mind is just another feedback mechanism. It's trying to understand the circumstances. But that doesn't mean it always is understanding, and it doesn't mean that it would give you the right information or the right choice either. It's something that's beneath those. And it's not the physical gut knowing either. Although that perhaps is closer than the other two. In actuality, that still small voice is what we find when we align ourselves with our mastery, when we align ourselves with our divinity, when we do the work of moving the clouds out of the way in front of the divinity. A lot of those clouds are clouds of this suppressed emotion. A lot of those clouds are the programs, the thoughts that we have in our head that aren't truth with a capital T, but truth that we have been programmed with, that we have been taught, that we have just held on to. For instance, I don't want anyone to do anything I have said in any of these radio shows or in any of the other work I offer because I said it. If you use any of this, use it because it makes sense to you and it feels right. And because when you breathe deeply into it, you're at peace. And if anything I say brings up emotion or brings up confusion, then move the emotion, move the confusion, breathe into it, set that intention to move it out. And then you'll know. I'm not saying you have to believe everything I say is true. Absolutely not. If your inner knowing, if you're at peace with something that is absolutely the opposite of something I would say, wonderful. I'm not here to try and convince anyone, but rather to offer things that can help people into their empowerment. And empowerment is about knowing the truth from within. Doesn't mean it has to all come up from within. You can get it from a book. You can get it from this show. You can get it from a reading. You can get it from a session. You can get it from whatever source you might get it from, a lecture, a talk, anything. The radio, a song, something overheard in somebody else's conversation. Doesn't matter where it comes from. It's not truth to me until I know it within me. And that's what I would suggest is a pretty good model to use. Test everything within your mental body, within your emotional body, within your physical body, to see how it feels, to see if it makes sense. And then if it does, then you can use it as a part of your toolbox for making those empowered choices. So, I think that's a good place to pause, to move forward into the channeling. Before we go there, I just would put forth another reminder, since I still haven't put the email out or changed the website. Next Saturday on December 10th is the next full moon. It will be the next gateway activation. We will be opening two gateways, one for the full moon, one for the equinox, which follows less than 2 weeks later. And those gateways are of Thanksgiving and of plenty. So, if you're interested in those, send me an email, let me know, sign up. And hopefully that email will be out here very soon. But let's get ready for the channeling. And As you do that, just allow yourself to breathe deeply. All the connections are made. I will once more just do the toning that allows me to realign the energy fields, mine, the being or beings I channel, and yours, all together to create the greatest possible flow. And so here we go. Oh, brethren, this is one that in your language would be known as white antelope. And I was what many of you would call a shaman long ago. Long ago and far away. And I have come here today because there is a key that I would offer. It is a key that we discovered, and it has aided many. But it has only been passed one to one. And the lineage has mostly died out at this time. And so, we will give this here, but first, we would ask you to prepare yourself. And in doing so, if you can, depending upon where you are, it would be good to have your feet flat upon the earth. If not upon the earth, then upon the floor of whatever structure you are in. And we would have you take three very specific breaths. And in the first breath, what you are choosing to do, so do not do it yet. Wait until we have finished. In the first breath, what you are choosing to do is to open the cells of the body. So take that breath now. And you can breathe in between these. But these three breaths will be conscious. So the second breath is one that you are to take with the intention. And we will call them cells. That is not the correct term, but it is the term that will work the best. You are taking the second breath to open the cells of what you would term the emotional body. And so take that breath now. Good. And so, you can probably guess the third. The third breath is with the intention to open the cells. This is not the brain cells, although they are part of it, but it is the cells of the mental body. So take that breath now. Good. So you are open. Good. Good, good, good. And just first, at this moment, feel that openness. Feel that degree of openness. and add a little more intention to that openness, that you would be fully open, as fully as you can be, as fully as is safe for you, to what we are offering next. And so as you sit in your openness, what we would do first is to take the physical, all of those cells, and the emotional. And again, we use the term cells, even though that is not exactly the best term, but it is the best in this language. What we do is we take all of the cells in the physical and the corresponding cells in the emotional, the corresponding structures in the emotional. And it is not exactly linking, because it is more than just connecting them. It is more like weaving them. We weave the corresponding cells in the physical and the emotional bodies together. And feel that connecting to the degree that you can, but allow it to the degree that you choose. And breathe with it. It will take some time to integrate, but this initial weaving will be done shortly. Keep breathing. Wonderful. Wonderful. And so now, we take that which is the physical emotional body that has been woven together, and now we take those cells and we weave them together with the corresponding cells in the mental body. And once more, it is beyond linking. They are being interwoven, connected together in ways that are creating new pathways. And so, again, feel it to the degree that you can, but choose it to the degree that you are willing. And breathe with it. Good. Very good. Now, we take that interwoven self and we open the soles of the feet. And we take the cells, the interwoven cells, all three levels, the physical, the emotional, and the mental. And we weave them. It is a moving weave. That may not make sense logically, but it is a moving weave. We weave them into the earth where you are right now, with the cells of the earth. When we say it is a moving weave, we are given an image from your houses that you have now, that of the sliding door. So as you move about, it will slide like the door slides in the tracks, although it is not limited to that one linear direction. Wherever you go, this weaving will move with you. And it will allow you a greater connectedness to the receiving of the bounty of the earth. Wonderful. And we would open up the crown. And we would take the cells there, all three levels, physical, emotional, and mental. And we would open them and we would weave them with the cells of divinity. Again, terminology is not very good here, but with the cells of divinity. We would weave them in another moving weave. So it is not about location. It is not about what direction your head is pointed, and it is not about whether you are standing or sitting or lying down. It is there the channels will be open to a greater degree of interconnectedness. And allow yourself to feel the flow from the earth and to feel this flow of divinity. And that is what we will do for now. But this weaving will serve you well. Because you are moving into your oneness. You are moving into, or in the direction of at least, unity within the self. And so we give you this gift today, dear ones. And we wish you the infinite power that is within you to be known by you, to be expressed through you, to be celebrated around you. Namaste, dear ones. Well, welcome back, and thank you for joining me, and thank you for co-creating that, and thank you, White Antelope, that's a first for me. I haven't heard from you before. So, Doug, you can start those chimes anytime you're ready. And I will thank each and every one of you out there for co-creating this with me to get today. Can't do this without you. Please let me know what you think. Just let me an email, give me a call, give me your feedback, give me your suggestions for future topics, for future guests. I will be back same time next week, same place. I hope you join me again out there in the truth within. Remember, you never know where this show will go or where you're going to go until you get there. So take those steps consciously. Take those steps courageously. And know that there is love all around you. Thanks again. Namaste.